We're picking up here at Perek Shishi. The title is Shnei Hayitzarim, the two motivations, or the word Yetzer. It's hard to define that exactly, but we have a Yetzer Tov and a Yetzer Ra. So I guess you could call it an inclination. Okay. We're going to look at this paragraph, this Perek, in a little bit of a different fashion. As opposed to going line by line, we're going to do more of a survey, so we're going to skip ahead to get the whole idea in one shot this morning. He begins, Rav Volbe here on the top line, he says that in the first chelik of Ali Shur, so that was last year, he'erachnu dai bi, you see in the quotation marks, das atzmenu. We spoke a lot about self-awareness. Self-awareness as a core aspect of our personal development, our avodas Hashem. Today, Khan, he says, niskor biktzara es hakochos hapoalim banu. When we think about self-awareness, what are those internal motivations? What are the machinations that we are feeling all the time as we're going through life? So there are, in a certain sense, two opposing poles. And he quotes a Mishnah in Perkei Avos at the end of this paragraph. You see in the third line the quote marks. Mishnah says, Benazai teaches us, have a rotz l'mitzvah kala. You should run, you should pursue a mitzvah kala, literally is translated as easy mitzvah, light mitzvah. Uboreach min ha'avera. And you should flee from an avera, from a misdeed. Now, just parenthetically, we don't like to play favorites when it comes to mitzvahs, so we try to do all mitzvahs, but the point of Ben Azai is to say even a small mitzvah, a simple mitzvah, we should run after it. So Rav Volbe makes an amazing observation when you read this Mishnah. What do we learn from the contrast between you should rotz l'mitzvah, you should run to a mitzvah, and you should be boreach, you should flee from an avera. What do we learn about mitzvahs and averas from that frame? Relative to us. What's the natural relationship between us and a mitzvah versus us and avera?
We should run towards one and keep away from the other.
Right, but what's the default?
We're far from one and we're close to another.
Right, that's the thing, he points out, and I never thought about that. That means that the default is that the mitzvah is running away from us, or it's distant from us. And uboreach min ha'avera. Why should we boreach min ha'avera? Because it's chasing us. So we have to run away from it. Awesome insight, no? That's good. So the question is, why? Why is it that when we're static, we're not near the mitzvah, so to speak, yet the avera is hunting us down all the time? That's a great question. That's the question he presents on this Mishnah. Awesome question. So he explains at the beginning, go to the third line, the second paragraph, an explanation from Rav Chaim V'Loshner, that Ha'adam, you see on the third line of the second paragraph, I should have put numbers on this page. Ha'adam miyusad al koach ha'bechira. A person is rooted, is founded on the principle of choice, of free will. Apparently, says Reb Chaim V'Loshner, Reb Chaim V'Loshner was a very important student of the Vilna Gaon who revolutionized the world of Jewish thought and Jewish learning in instituting a new yeshiva system, etc. He says, Ha'bechira, the concept of free choice, mechayeves, it requires Shahayetzer Tov, that the positive inclination, Vahayetzer Hara, those are the tiny letters there that are abbreviations, and the negative inclination, Yeh Kocham Shaveh. Okay. So apparently, it was necessary to create an equalizer. Because had it been that the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara would both be equally available, that both the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Ra would be pursuing us or we would have to pursue them, then obviously we would make the right choice. We would always follow the Yetzer Tov. So to enable that there should be a fair playing field, they actually had to tip the scales a little bit. And so we need to pursue the Yetzer Tov, and we need to keep ourselves away from the Yetzer Hara. If we were just in a static position, we would never be drawn after the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara needs to pursue us so that we should follow it. And the question is, how does that work? What does it mean that in a static position, we would never follow the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara? And I want to think about this really on two levels, because Rav Volbi is going to talk about it on a basic level. Like if someone were to ask you, what is an example of something that the Yetzer Hara were to ask you to do versus something that the Yetzer HaTov would ask you to do? What would the Yetzer Hara ask us to do? I don't know. Right? An Avera. So an example of that would be, I don't know.
Don't make a bracha.
Not to make a bracha or eating something from McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying. Whatever. Mm-hmm. It happens. People wonder about that. So that would be one ask. And then the Yetzer HaTov would ask you something else. It would say, you know, pick up the phone and call somebody who needs, you know, a little bit of a lift. Right? That would be the Yetzer HaTov equivalent. You know, be kind to somebody else, share with them, think about them. But I wonder, in thinking about this, if it's not just about Yetzer Hara and Yetzer HaTov in terms of making quote-unquote bad choices versus making good choices, what Rav Volbi presents here, I think, and you'll tell me, or you'll think about it afterwards if I'm totally off base on this, is the theory that Rav Volbi is going to present to us, it's not just true for the difference between Yetzer Hara and Yetzer HaTov. It's the difference between what we could call katnas hamochin, smallness of mind, versus godless hamochin, largeness of mind. There are two kinds of people. We have two different kinds of worldviews, times in our life how we view things. Sometimes we view things with greatness, with rosh gadol, they would say in Hebrew, a big head, which... that's what we call godless hamochin, greatness of mind, expansiveness of mind. And then sometimes we view things with what we call katnas hamochin. It's not so much a distinction between bad and good, but it's two totally different ways of looking at the world. Godless hamochin looks at another person and says, how can I be a good friend? Katnas hamochin says, did that person bring me a coffee this morning when they saw me? There's nothing bad about that inherently, but how do you view the relationship and the interaction? Do you view it very narrowly? Very small? We have this all the time. We have choices. How do we view situations in life? It's not a bad thing to ask yourself, you know, what did that person do for me lately? Or, you know, if I do that for them, well, then I'm going to be... I'll have this and I'll have that. You know, those are important calculations to make. But that's one way to define ourselves. Is that the way we want to define ourselves? Is that really what we would call godless hamochin? Godless hamochin says, I'm not worried about the smallness, the little details. I'm worried about the experience as a whole, the big picture, the kind of person that I want to be. So this distinction between Yetzer Hara and Yetzer Tov, I think, you'll decide, but I think it could play out in the same way. What is the distinction between Yetzer Tov, Yetzer Hara, and Yetzer Tov? So Rav Volbi says, take a look on the bottom of the page. He says, what is it that distinguishes them? You see on the second to last paragraph, the little word ein in the bold print, ein Hadimyon mifate es haadam laasos mitzvos. He says the difference is in the dimyon, imagination. Inherently, he says, we don't have an imagination to follow the Yetzer Tov. We have a conscience to follow the Yetzer Tov, but that imagination, he says, is really to follow the Yetzer Hara. The imagination And he, in the next paragraph, he talks about how this was implanted in us almost unnaturally by Hashem to equalize the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Ra. But he says, if we didn't have an imagination, now this is not Yetzer Hara per se, but it's related about food. You know, I was recently in the presence of a very big tzaddik, and he made a comment about food. And he said, you know, in certain circles, they don't really make so much of a big deal about food. Food is food. Which is very countercultural, because today, you know, foodie is a noun, and I think even fooding is a verb. I think. Right? We have an amazing imagination about food. I shouldn't speak for anybody else. I have an amazing imagination about food. I could spend the next 17 minutes just imagining together with you what this dinner that I'm picturing in my mind right now, how many courses and exactly the char on the outside, the crispiness, but also the softness. Like, there's a lot of imagination that goes into food, right? Do we have that same imagination naturally about a blot of Gemara or a perek of Mishnayos? Some people may, but that takes a very, very long time of cultivating. Inherently, the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us this imagination that we should be drawn after material things. It's also bound up in the whole conversation about happiness, where like we think, I'm imagining that car, and this is what advertising is all built on, right? We see that person whose picture has been doctored up significantly, and they're driving in that car, and they're holding that soda, and you're just like, oh, I'm imagining that person, and the mamish, the bliss of driving in that car, holding that soda, and the hair with the wind, you know what I'm talking about, right? You imagine that. And then, when you get that, you're like waiting. You know, you bought the soda and you're like, it says on the advertisement, it says open happiness. You open it up and I love Coke. It's delicious. But there's actually not happiness in the bottle. You know what I'm saying? It's like it's a caramel colored liquid that if you don't drink it cold and right out of the bottle, it's pretty nasty. But the imagination of what that will be like is so appealing, right? It's so appealing. Having that new washing machine, like it's going to solve all of the world's problems. No refugees will be hungry in Syria after I get that washing machine. You know what I'm talking about? It's going to, you just have to press one button and all of mankind will be at peace. We think that's the power of the imagination. And Ravoli says that imagination is rooted in materialism because it's just that. It's ethereal. We think. We imagine that if we just had that piece of pizza, it's going to be Gan Eden, that we finished the piece of pizza. It was delicious. It was good, especially if it was hot and it was crispy. I don't have to be marich, right? The bottom has to be crispy. The top has to be soft. But then it's like, okay, done. Zeu, gamarnu. That piece of pizza was like the salad that I had. It was. Now on to the next thing. Does it have that lasting feel-good quality? No. Sometimes actually it has a lasting unpleasant quality. Right? Masher Enkin, when you have a mitzvah, and the easiest way I think to grasp this for us is a chesed. When you do a chesed for somebody, but the teva of a person is not to wake up in the morning and be like, oh, man, I can so envision this chesed. I cannot tell you what it's going to be like to lend my tape recorder or to give that person a ride. I cannot wait to get out there and give that person a ride, right? I don't think that's something that most people imagine. It's not something that we can salivate over. But what happens when you give that person the ride? They get out of the car and you have the afterglow of chesed. You have that like, oh, that geschmack feeling that I did something good for somebody. Even sometimes it's a small thing. Somebody, they're struggling with a package, a parcel, they're trying to get through a door. It's just on a small level, but certainly when it's on a big level, you feel like, ah, oh, that's such a good feeling. It stays with you. So when it comes to the Yetzer Hara, there is this very strong Koach HaDimyon. But when it comes to the Yetzer HaTov, you don't have that Koach HaDimyon, but what do you have? You have that profound feeling of goodness. So what do we need to do, says the Mishnah? Rotz l'mitzvah kala. Get yourself motivated. Work ourselves into a state where we are excited and interested and ready to pursue mitzvahs. Because when we do that, we're going to feel so good about it. It's going to be a true enjoyment of our neshama, as opposed to boreach min aveira, because we have to be boreach, because every 5 minutes we're imagining some other material pursuit. That's the whole advertising industry is inundating us with that koach hadimyon. So now flip the page over. Again, I'm condensing this very long piece so we could get it all in one morning. He says, it's important to have koach hadimyon. He says, look at the third paragraph. Hare lule kinas ishmei re'eu lo haya nivna ha'olam. Does it mean that this idea of imagination and pursuit of material aspects, especially when it comes to competition, things like that, is bad? It's not bad, but we have to realize that that's where the draw is, the dimyon, the giruyim shel dimyon. So go to the bottom. Kan HaHevdel, where he explains what we just articulated. B'mitzvah Aveira, he says, B'mitzvah yesh ta'anug shel mamish. In a mitzvah, there is a substantive, meaningful enjoyment. U'misha tam tamo nimshach acharav kebarzel acharei magnet. After you enjoy that, you want to do it again. Right? When you help somebody, when you have a good davening, you're like, oh, that was such a good davening. I felt a real good connection. I would like to have that again tomorrow. There is an element of tamuru kitov. Aval koach meshicha shel dimyon, but the imaginative quality, hifkia HaKadosh Baruch Hu mimena. God took that away from us. We have to build that ourselves. He didn't give that to us as a gift, because otherwise it would be unfair. If you had the same imagination, if I had the same imagination for davening as I did for the food channel, would there be a competition? Avada, there wouldn't be a competition. There would be chop davening. I don't know what that looks like exactly, but some form of that, right? So the Ribbono Shel Olam equalized it, but at the same time, when we get to that mitzvah, we feel that. We have that ta'anug. He says, La Aveira yesh meshicha chazaka mitzad ha'dimyon. Aval tainug shel mamish ein ba, but it doesn't have that feeling afterwards of, oh, I feel good about that. What does he call that? He calls that yesh. What does yesh mean? Something. Sometimes we think that if I buy that refrigerator, I will have something. But the truth is, after you buy it, you realize it's the same as every other refrigerator. So maybe the shelves are, you know, they're adjustable, so it's a little easier to get the box inside with the grape juice, whatever. But that's not really yesh. Lahanchil o'ava yesh, he says, the yesh, that is that experience of a mitzvah. You feel like you have something. And he says that's why when we refer to fulfilling a mitzvah, we have Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. Olam Haba, that's the scar. But Olam Hazeh, you see people who do mitzvahs and they have spiritual lives, they have something. They walk around with that feeling of contentment. They're not always chasing the next thing. Because the dimyon, because it's elusive and it's illusory, you're always chasing the next thing. So now, what do you think? I wonder if this doesn't just apply, this whole theory doesn't just apply to Yetzer Hara and Yetzer HaTov. I think it applies to the Katnas Samochin and the Godless Samochin. The Godless Samochin is, it's difficult for us to habituate to thinking on that level of, what does it mean to be a good friend today? What does it mean to be a supportive person? What does it mean to be a thoughtful person? that's not hardwired. What is hardwired? Hardwired is to deal with the details. Was there or wasn't there? You know, did they have my flavor of coffee available readily this morning when I went to pick it up, or they didn't? You know, we're dealing with the small interactions. And we think that, oh, if we just got that interaction right, if they just had the exact coffee that I wanted this morning when I was ready for it, then my day would be, it would be good. And if it wasn't ready exactly, then, ach and vey, you know, my day it's in shambles. Because of that small prat, that person, I thought they were going to text me this morning, and they didn't text me this morning. And then we start making all the dimyonos, you know, we imagine if they had texted me, if they hadn't texted me, if they offered to pick it up, if they didn't offer to pick it up. That relates to koach ha-dimyon. Yeah.
What you also have to do is just putting I at the center of...
Yeah, I would say...
examples are
I. Right, yeah. To Gina's point, there was a guy who once wrote a letter to the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and he had a lot of struggles, and he had a lot of questions and issues. So he wrote a long letter to the Rebbe, and the guy, when he got the letter back, was expecting a reply from the Rebbe, and all he got was the same letter. But what the Rebbe had done was, at the beginning of every sentence was one word, I. The Rebbe took a pen, he circled all the I's, put it back in the envelope, and sent it to him. Very often, a person who is, when we are trapped in Katnus HaMochin, the I, it dominates. Right? We are so absorbed in that I that it becomes, everything is transactional. But your eye could still be in the center, but if you're a Galus Hamochen type of person, your eye is expansive. It's a different kind of eye. Right? There's the small eye that's dealing with just the minutia, and then there's the big eye that says, oh, I am a person that includes other people. My definition of self is one that takes into concern all the people in my Sviva, in my environment. So, yeah, I think it is related to the I, but I think it's what kind of I. You know, how do I define myself? Yeah, what were you going to say?
No, I'm sorry. I don't know if this makes sense, but is it the difference between what you can do for I, or me, versus what I can do for others?
Yeah, I think it's true that in the case of Katnus HaMochin, which is what we're saying is related in some way to the Yetzer Hara, it's very narrow and self-serving.
Translate the
smallness of mind. Katnus, milashon katan, and mochin, moach, means mind. So there's godless hamochin on this side, and then there's katnus hamochin. So katnus hamochin very much is about the smallness and the pettiness of life. Exactly that. And the godless hamochin, the greatness of mind, it is about others, but I don't even think it has to be about others. It could be about me. It could be about, what am I doing today? It's about me, but how do I orient that I? You know what I mean? Does that I only have what my self-immediate interest is at that moment? Right? Two people walk into a Starbucks. Two people are standing online. So a person of Katnus HaMochin, the only thing they see is their schedule and their coffee and their order, and that's it. Right, that's all they see. The other person, they're also going to get a cup of coffee, and that's why they're there. They're not going there to do a chesed, to hand out, you know, they're just going to get a cup of coffee. But a person of godless samochin, which we're encouraging ourselves to try to grow to that level, walks in and recognizes, wait a second, first of all, that barista, whatever you call them, standing behind the apron, that's a person too. You know, maybe they got up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Maybe I should say good morning to them. If it's about Katnus HaMochin, it's very transactional, right? It's just, do you have the exact coffee that I want? You know, if it's about godless HaMochin, it's about, well, wait a second. What's that person's life? What's their experience? Are we drawn to think like that? We're not drawn to think like that. That's heavy ruts l'mitzvah kala. We have to develop that sensitivity to realize, yeah, of course, I'm here for myself. I'm here for my cup of coffee, but what kind of person am I? Am I that person? And sometimes I struggle with this because if I'm so, you know, I'm always, I don't want to say I'm always rushing and always late, but sometimes rushing and sometimes late. Some, like, you know, you're so focused on that small thing. Do you realize the person is next to you? Right? Do you recognize that somebody dropped a piece of, an article of garbage on the floor so you could pick it up and put it in the thing to say good morning to that person, to make eye contact? You know, it's a different kind of eye. So yeah, it's about me. I'm getting the coffee, but how? How? And I think that, at least to me, is another layer of this distinction that Rav Volpe is teaching us. That when we talk about the draw of the Yetzer Hara, it's also the draw of the smallness. Because we imagine, we can grasp, I can think to myself, what is it going to mean to have that cup of coffee? And what does it mean not to have that cup of coffee? Because I need the coffee, to the caffeine, I enjoy it, it gets my day going, it's my routine. So I can be medama that. I have a dimion, an imagination in my mind of what that is. I don't have a dimion. I don't imagine naturally that I'm going to smile at the person at the gas station. Right? I don't imagine that on my own. But if I'm ruts to that, It's a good feeling. Right? When you have an interaction that's a good interaction with someone where you're a godless samocha in the big mind, you feel good afterwards. You have that yesh, that Avraham Avinu feeling of lahanchil o avayesh. It's difficult. And this is what he points out in the last paragraph. We'll end here. Look on the left side, top left. He says, Zui Shivui Hamishkal, top paragraph, Ben Yetzer Tov Har Yetzer Ra. This is the equalizer. Ilu Hayu Hakol Rotzen Acharei Mitzvah B'Gzeiras Melech. If Hashem had commanded that we would all pursue mitzvos like we run after beauty and imagination, of course we would have no choice. Hasam is Batelas Habechira. Because nobody would be interested in materialism. Therefore, he equalized it. Vaha mitzvah, not just lo rak she'ina dimion mosheich elea, not just that we don't imagine it, elohu gam bo rachas meha adam. Achu tzarech lirdof acharea. It eludes us. It runs away from us. It's not natural. It's hard for us to break out of the katna samochin and be that kind of person who looks to the right and to the left and thinks about the totality of how we're living our life. It's so difficult. It's boreach from us. It's not natural. But that's the charge. That's the opportunity to be aware. And this is where we started. It's the Das Atzmenu, it's the self-awareness, to be aware that we are struggling between these two poles, between the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer HaTov, between the smallness of life, thinking small, and thinking big, and the godless Samochin. And the more that we are aware of that, we can take a step back and say, you know what, you're right. Today, it's Monday, it's the new day, it's the new week. I'm not really feeling it right now to be like the most godless Samochin person. But I have a choice. I have Bechira. That Bechira enables me to say, well, let's think about my scenarios and let's think about how I'm going to tackle my week and what am I going to do to choose to be more in the Yetzer HaTov side, to choose to be in the godless Amochin, the more expansive, the greater, the bigger self that we can to accomplish all that we want. Have a great week.